Off the Ball, GAA.
I think it's just interesting seeing how maybe sometimes male coaches think or perceive how women want to receive feedback.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite, giving you a flavour of Ireland's sports breakfast show.
Speaking of rugby, the tickets, if you're a member of a rugby club, you can now get your hands on tickets. If anybody out there wants to tell us in the comments on YouTube how much it's going to cost you to go to the Ireland-England and Ireland-France or Ireland-France games, do let us know. You've been looking a bit at this, Dara?
I have, yeah. Bear with me here because there's a bit of research gone into this, so this may take up a few minutes. But many, like you said, many of our listeners...
You've set a very high bar there, Dara.
Yeah. As you said, many of our listeners would be Irish rugby fans and the men's team, especially. Jerry, you've been to a few Six Nations games in your time, I imagine.
Yep.
Yeah.
Why do I feel like there's a bit of shade attached?
Well, I'm not going to ask Arthur because I know the answer to that.
I've watched a few, yeah.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Well, the pinnacle of 3 out of every 4 year cycle is the Six Nations, right? Like, that's the biggest thing. You have the World Cup on the 4th year, but Six Nations takes precedent. And the other three, that time of year is fast approaching, as we know, the end of January. We'll see the first game, Wales versus France on the 31st. And a team of every season coming into it is tickets and how hard it is to get and how expensive they are. And it's been a team throughout the year of, say, like the Autumn Nations as well, how expensive tickets are and fans being priced out of tickets. So I decided to have a look at how hard it actually is to get tickets, because we hear it a lot, but we don't actually know the tier system and the prices and whatever. So this year, Ireland will have France and England at home, which is always the two biggest games, obviously the two best teams in the Six Nations, bar us. Scotland might have something to say about that, but anyway. But yeah, as you said, this week, allocated tickets have gone out to clubs. So if you're a club member in Ireland, you will have had the chance to secure some tickets to both games. Before I get to the pricing of those tickets, I've done a bit of research, as I've said, as to how you get them. And somewhat of a taboo topic in Ireland, because even when you search up Ireland's men's Six Nations tickets, nothing comes up. I don't know if you've noticed that before. If you go into the IRFU website and navigate yourself to tickets, all there is Women's Six Nations, the Celtic Challenge, Under 20 Six Nations, Provincial Games, amongst other options, and nothing about the Men's Six Nations, the biggest competition each year, which makes no sense. But anyway,
as in you cannot buy them, they're not available for general release.
No, okay. Exactly. The reason being is that they're simply not available just to anyone, right? We're all aware that rugby clubs do get first priority. That's a well-known thing around around Ireland. But what does that actually mean for the average non-playing rugby fan? So here's a run-through of how hard it is to get Six Nations tickets. Firstly, rugby clubs will be allocated a certain amount of tickets. The quantity of the allocation depends on how good your rugby club is. Say like Lansdowne, UCD, top clubs will get a larger amount. Going down the leagues, you get less. And to be able to access those tickets, i.e. to be a member of one of those rugby clubs, you have to pay a fee, which ranges between 50 and 100, depending on the club. And then paying members of this club will get a chance at these tickets, but they're not guaranteed. So you still have to fight over them, even though you've paid a fee, right? So then you drop down a tier, kind of, because it's kind of guaranteed. But then you have the Irish Supporters Club, which is basically a 10-year ticket, which you can pay somewhere between 10,000 and 20,000. It's not totally clear. But that basically guarantees you a ticket to all Irish rugby international matches. But that's who can afford to fork out 10, 20 grand for Irish rugby. Not many people, right?
Corporates,
yeah. And then some, if there's any left after that, some will go to provincial season ticket holders, which obviously in a Six Nations like this, when it's France and England, probably not that likely to get any, but that's next year. And then after all that, if there's any left over, which there never is, then there's a general release. So, yeah, like that's how hard it is to get. Now, considering most ticket holders have to pay a fee just to get the right to get a ticket, you would think like the price might not be too crazy for it. So this year, I had a look. I'm a member of a rugby club myself. Had a look at the prices and thought, you know what, maybe this year I go. I've always wanted to go. Love rugby, love my country, but I've never actually seen them play. I've never actually seen a game outside of an All Nations fixture against Fiji 2 years ago, which is a nothing game, none to starters play, you know. So I've never seen a Six Nations game in person. So I thought, you know, I'll have a look. Like, you know, we'll see what's on offer. The cheapest... So the way they've done it this year, similar to how the FEI have put out tickets recently, is they do a two-match package. So if you want to go to any games, you have to buy tickets to both. Right, so you have to buy tickets to England and France. And the cheapest ticket, considering everyone will buy two tickets to these type of events, because you'll go with someone, naturally enough, is €520. That's the cheapest available price. That's
a bundle. And that gets you two tickets for both matches.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then the most expensive is €700, which is just completely unfeasible in the long run things. You're not going to do that every year.
Is there a world in which you would find two mates to take half of them and, you know, you basically need three other people to go with you?
Except yeah.
You go to one game and your mates go to the other.
Yeah, you split it up. But like, yeah. You shouldn't have to do that. €700 for two matches.
It's prohibitive and you're not bringing kids. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. You do see a lot of kids, don't you? It's interesting.
You see, there's families, yeah.
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 But it is, I don't think it's
sometimes I feel like they're the families of the players.
Oh, okay.
There's a very,
I'm sure there's no
families. That's generally, like, there are some families, but it feels like it's, you go over and you see the players and they're like, oh, that's where they're filming that bit that has, like, a diverse part of the crowd, and then the rest of the crowd is not like that. You know, you might see some on the TV, you see very few at matches.
Interesting.
Maybe the camera is like
holding,
using AI to find the kids to make it look.
But yeah, it's clearly a very flawed system, but it's a system that's been built purposefully. But now rugby is very much a national sport where, you know, you have 2. Whatever million or 1. Whatever million watching games at the World Cup, that everyone watches rugby nowadays and everyone wants to go to these games. But not only are you excluded through how the system works, even if you manage to break into that system, pay the fees to become a member of whatever, you're still being priced out when you get to that stage.
The knock-on impact is going to be interesting because people are saying, like, the charging kids to go to league matches, pardon me, in the GAA is, you know, preventing under 16s from going for free, and you have to be with a parent, that ultimately it's going to end up being self-defeating. And yet there's been no sign of this ticketing policy having an impact on the IRFU or rugby's popularity. Like, maybe that's just a short-term thing and maybe it's inevitable.
Hmm.
The other corollary of it is that for the moment they're in this sweet spot where there's this mad pent-up desire for people to go, which means they can effectively charge what they want. And they're using that to keep all our players in Ireland, keep these big squads, and building a sustainable, relatively sustainable model. So it seems to be working for rugby.
100%, yeah.
Kinda.
No one questions
up to the quarterfinal stage.
No, I don't mean that. I just mean in terms of like, I know I brought this to your attention on my week off. There was a little nugget of information at the bottom of a Dennis Walsh article in the Irish Times last week about, I don't have the exact numbers, but it's in the 200s, each are in the 200s. But there are about, I think, 50 fewer rugby clubs in the country than there are GAA clubs in Cork. So it's interesting that it's definitely an occasion of national interest. But the sport as a whole has such a shallow base that it's so widespread. It obviously touches a lot of areas of the country, but it's so remote within those different places that it's kind of grand. I suppose you're kind of, and it's not a criticism to, look, I think there's a kind of a fair enough assumption that a lot of people who are interested in rugby are willing, clearly, and able to spend the money that it requires to go to such events. And you're never going to have one of those games that's not a sellout. So there's a kind of, obviously, a very captive audience there with the capital to go and support it. But that is all good and well, I suppose, while the team is winning.